There was a basketball coach during the course of a game who saw that one of his players was just not trying. He wasn't hustling. He wasn't giving it 100%. And the coach confronted the player and said to him, "Man, you're dogging it. You're just not giving me 100% out there. What's going on?" And the player said, "Coach, I'm not making my shots. I'm just not making my shots, coach. I'm having a bad game." And the coach said, "Well, that may be true, but you can always play defense. You can always be confident." The day that I realized that I would never have a world-class backhand was not a good day for me. The day that I figured out that for a trial lawyer, hard work was more important than talent, that was a really, really good day for me. Now, the question then becomes, how do you become confident? How do you become a competent trial lawyer? Well, the answer is so obvious, so elemental, so fundamental, so basic that I am embarrassed to stand up here and tell it to you or say it to you. You all know it. But before I tell you how you become competent, what you already know, let me tell you how you don't become competent. You don't become competent by taking trial advocacy courses in law school. You don't become competent by winning moot court trials in law school. I have some experience with that. And what wins a moot court trial in law school is not what wins a trial in a real courtroom. And if it was important, I'd take the time to explain it to you, but it's not that important. You don't become competent by taking depositions or going to mediations. That is no substitute for the courtroom. You certainly don't become competent by going to seminars and listening to people like me. And most of you will never have the opportunity to train under a good trial lawyer. This is one of those excessive references to my own experience, but I'm going to tell you my experience. When I got out of law school, I went to work for Bob Givens. Bob Givens, in my opinion, was the best trial lawyer I ever saw in any courtroom, anywhere, bar none. He was an exception to my rule that lawyers do not win cases. He was a magnificent, wonderful trial lawyer. I worked for him for 3.5 years, and during that time, he never taught me anything. He never sat me down and said, "This is what you should do, and this is how you should do it." He didn't have any interest in doing that. That's not what I was there for. And I understood that. But it was a marvelous learning experience. Every day I watched him work. I watched him depose people. I watched him get people ready for four depositions. I listened to him talk to adjusters on the phone. I saw how hard he worked. I saw him prepare for trial. And when he went to the courthouse and tried cases, I carried his briefcase and sat next to him in the courthouse, in the courtroom. It was a marvelous, wonderful learning experience for a young lawyer who wanted to be a trial lawyer. It was also probably the most difficult 3.5 years of my professional life. I never could do Bob Givens was difficult to work for, and I could never do what he wanted me to do the way he wanted me to do it, and he fired me. But I wouldn't take $1 million today for that experience, and whatever modest success I may have had in the courtroom, it all began working for him. So my point is that if you have the opportunity to work for a good trial lawyer, cherish it. Understand how fortunate you are. Put up with the idiosyncrasies and the egocentricities, if that's a word, that seem to be associated with most good trial lawyers, and benefit from that experience and understand how fortunate you are for being there. But most of you won't have that opportunity. So how do you become a good trial lawyer? Well, again, it's so elemental, it's so basic, that I'm embarrassed to stand up here and tell you how you do it, but the way you do it is that you find some way to get into the courthouse and try lawsuits. Now, it won't be as easy for some of you to try lawsuits as it was for me, and again, I'll tell you about my own experience. When I worked for Givens, he He had just broken up or split with Broadus Spivey. And it was the losses of Bob Givens, and he didn't want to turn down cases. And so it seemed like, particularly from referral lawyers, and it seemed like referral lawyers always referred three cases at a time, a good case, a mediocre case, and a crappy case. And the crappy cases had to be disposed of, and when they couldn't be settled, he sent me over to the courthouse because he wasn't going to try them. He sent me over to the courthouse and tried them, and I tried them with no success at all. But I got to get into the courtroom. And then the only job I could find after I got fired by Givens was the city of Austin. Working there as an assistant city attorney, and it turned out to be a marvelous, wonderful experience for a young trial lawyer who wanted to try lawsuits, because the city of Austin was self-insured. They had no liability insurance, they had no workman's compensation insurance, and I got to try. It seemed like every time a cop stubbed his toe, he hired Joe Colbert to represent him and file a comp claim for him. We got tired of paying those things, and I tried comp cases. I tried every time an ambulance or a fire truck ran into somebody, I tried those cases. I remember trying Mike Davis's partner twice when his fire truck ran into one of his clients.